This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. And if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, I encourage you to go to their website. It's gotoneverland.com. Make sure you use that domain because they're checking out how many of you guys who are listening to this show, the number one podcast, Disney.
Number one Disney podcast to listen to.
That you should be listening to. I believe that came from What Culture, thanks to them. They want to know if you're listening and also going to their website. So use that domain, gotoneverland.com, and submit for your next vacation. You're going to have a great time dealing with one of their magic makers who are excellent. They know everything. They're Disney experts. Are going to make sure you have an incredible trip. Yeah, so Will, yes?
I was just going to say, they're going to make it so good that all you've got to do is pass.
I was waiting for that. All you got to do is pack. Go to Neverland.com. DLP packages, WDW Today Weekend packages, still available right now.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016, and this is episode 1504 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I got a little bit of a cold, but Will.
Logan just got back from the land down under.
Australia.
No, I mean, we're north of Florida, so I call it the land down under. It's a little thing I do.
What?
So I just thought we'd go ahead and get a little trip report action from you today, Logan.
Who did the 80s song, The Land Down Under?
Toto. The Toto? No.
They have the Winds in Africa.
No, that's...
Men Without Hats.
No, it's not.
That's Dance If You Want
I Can't Get to Sleep.
Speaking of off topic.
Come on. I think about the implications. What's that? Minute Work? Did we already say that? Minute Work?
I said
Men Without Hats.
It's Minute Work, I think.
Not Men in Hats. It's Minute Work.
Minute Work. Yeah. Minute Work. That guy's here
from
all the
album Business As Usual.
Yeah, it's a great album. So great that you think we'd remember the names. Yes, but I did just come back from a trip down to Walt Disney World, the Orlando area, as well as some time in South Florida. I'm pretty stuffed up right now, so I apologize for my cold. I think it was just from the travel and such. But I did. I spent a week down in Walt Disney World. First trip with both my son and my two twin daughters who are 4 months old, and it was an interesting experience. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. Last week, even though historically now it's cooled off now, historically March is still pretty relatively mild. Last week, the temperatures were in the mid-90s, the highs in the low to mid-90s, and it was brutal during the day. So we didn't get to the parks near as much as I thought we would be for being a week. I mean, really not a lot at all. The first night we got there, I took my boy out to see his first Orlando City soccer match, which was an unbelievable experience. And here's something you're going to learn about me. I am a huge off-property person. I'm not a purist from Disney. I love Disney, number one, over everything. But I'm not afraid to get in a car and go 15, 20, 30 minutes out of my way to go do something else. And some of those things are, now that happens because I lived there for a period, so I'm sure there's some of that as well. There's local places I like to eat and so on. But I like going off property. So I went to an Orlando City match. It was a good match. I'll just keep it up. My son.
Did they win?
It was a draw. So it was a draw. They should have won, but still, they had a goal within 4 minutes. My son, his head exploded when they got a goal. It was unbelievable. It was one of the greatest experiences ever. I was curious how it was going to be with a little kid. He watches soccer a lot, plays soccer, so I know he's a fan, but I took him to WWE a few weeks ago, and bored out of his mind. This was, for the whole 90 minutes, was locked in. I mean, it was incredible to watch him watch. I think there's just so much movement, and there's never a downtime, that it was great. But on to that, so I encourage you to go see Orlando City Soccer. The next day, we woke up and two things happened. My Kingdom Stroller arrived.
Nice.
At 7 a.m. I had ordered a
pack. Was that an appropriate time for them to arrive?
You pick what time, I think. I didn't even check in. They just leave it. I was at a vacation home. Good. They leave it at the front door. Including, I got a pallet of water. They left me my pallet of water
a
with
pallet?
It.
A pallet?
Like a
case or like a pallet? That's like a lot of water.
Like a case, I guess.
Not like a pallet.
Like a 24 pack.
Okay.
And they left that at the front door with some extra stuff. And that was awesome. But then, of course, my son wakes up with pink eye. That was fantastic. So he wakes up with conjunctivitis, which he had had a couple weeks before. So we were like, oh, crud, this is what it is. I went down to a lovely urgent care, Centricare on 192. Actually, it was great. Facility. I was in and out within an hour with three meds. They dosed him up, and he was back to normal within, honestly, a few hours. He was feeling pretty good. But later on, I don't know if it was that evening, the next day, we went to the Magic Kingdom. And that was the first trip for my daughters. And also, what was kind of cool about that is we had to exchange our annual passes. We had the certificates. If you buy an annual pass, you may not know, if you buy them in the mail before you get your Magic Band, you'll get a actual physical card that is just, really, it's just a reservation number. Because we left those, it didn't matter. We gave them their reservation number, and it worked just fine. If you don't get your Magic Band in time and you need to do that, I really encourage you to go at night. We went at 7 o'clock at night. It was already getting dark, and zero lines at guest services. Took no time. It was excellent experience. I've waited in that line to redeem my annual passes for over an hour in the heat. It's miserable. So that's a little bit of a tip.
If you get in on a weekday or something, go that night. Go there that night.
That'd go there great. That night.
Yeah. In fact, I'll give you another tip. We always do ours at Disney Springs.
Yeah,
see, I've had there's a customer service there. I mean, you never know with Disney customer service if you're going to get a great agent.
Yeah,
because it's kind of confusing when they do it there. But
yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that it's in the marketplace kind of area, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and you'll be able to find it. I had a bad experience there last year, so I didn't want to do that again, where I was waiting for hours to get stuff handled and it was a whole big mess. This time was simple, easy, and great. So went to Magic Kingdom. Went at 7. It was open. Park was open till I think midnight. We stayed until around 11. And we did, we just did our Fast Pass attractions. So we just did, and maybe I think one extra. So we just went in and did Haunted Mansion. It's Small World and Dumbo. And my son rode Haunted Mansion. And we've talked about that for the first time as a kind of cognizant person, you know, not as a baby. And he loved it, fell in love with it. He just said, he laughed. He goes, that ride was awesome.
Did you tell him that Uncle Will had a meltdown when he was his age?
I don't know if I think I may have did bring it up. I said, you're braver than Uncle Will.
Of course. Great. Now he's going to tell me that every time I see him.
And he loved it. I mean, YouTube helped. We prepped him. We've been reading the Haunted Mansion comic book. So I could say, look, remember you saw that in the comic book. There's the clock with, you know, the 13 clock. There's, you know, the paintings that changed. So he was able to kind of identify with things, which was cool, from the comic. And that kind of, that was fun. So did that. Great. I did It's a Small World in Dumbo. Dumbo holding a four-month-old preemie baby. A little frightening, you know, because we were separated. So my wife had had my son. I had one of our daughters, and then we had someone with us to help out who she had my other daughter. And to hold one hand and try to, like, not fall off of Dumbo was a bit odd. And our joystick was broken, so I had no control of where things were going.
So you didn't go crazy on the up down stick.
I didn't go crazy, as Terry would say. No, I didn't go crazy on the up and down stick.
# up down stick.
Don't do that. Well, you could do it, but it's just like the adult whip. Don't Google it. Bad news, man. But the Dumbo ride was great. Small World was great. It got a little hectic towards the end of the night. It was just getting really hot. And Wishes was about to happen, and we didn't want to get stuck in Wishes traffic. And we headed out. We ended up watching Wishes from, we parked at the Contemporary because we had dinner at Chef Mickey's. Forgot that part. But on the way back to the Contemporary, we ended up walking to the Contemporary back, and which is nothing. I would encourage you, that's a great way to do it. Walk back from the Contemporary. We stopped right when you cross the road, a crosswalk, and we watched Wishes from, I guess, just kind of right under the monorail. And you're able to, I'll post a picture. I think I did on my Twitter account. You can see my kids all watching Wishes. Great view of Wishes. The calm for the kids. It's right near Space Mountain.
Pretty much Space Mountain.
Yeah, you're pretty much watching from Space Mountain. So that was awesome. Got back to our hotel. Great. We stayed at vacation home.
I was going to ask about that. So you've obviously in the past mentioned many times that you're an all-star vacation home kind of guy. Was it everything you thought it would be having the babies? Because I know before you'd had just one kid down there, and it's pretty simple, but it kind of, to me, seems like it'd be a little bit more difficult with that many children.
It was, I think, just the ability to pull into a house, get out of the car, and be in your house, be in your area, being near their room, is still well worth it. And have their own space. You know, I could put them down and we could go walk into the kitchen, and it's not going to wake them up. So that was still positive. You know, All-Star was a sponsor of this broadcast for years. They're not currently a sponsor. I will say that I had some service issues. I'm not really afraid to say that. The pool was dirty when we got there. There's a pool alarm that goes off. The pool alarm wouldn't work. So every time you open the door, it would scream and wake up everybody. So there were some negatives I had. And overall, I'm a very positive guy with All-Star.
I feel like that's probably – I don't feel like you've had those issues in the past.
No, and they've recently gone through new ownership. And that made me a little concerned. The first time the pool was not clean, I called. If it was last trip, I feel like they've been out there in 30 minutes. It was a day and a half to get them out there to clean. The pool was filthy. You know, that's not to say that it still isn't something I'll do because it was a great house. I just feel like some of the service has dropped. And I was disappointed in that. I'm a huge customer of theirs, and I'm still a big supporter in saying that's a great option is to do a vacation home. I will look, though, to an Airbnb next time. I will look to other options because – the big plus for All-Star with me was always that the service was impeccable and had kind of a rough experience. It wasn't rough. Look, it still wasn't rough, but it was not up to standards that I've had there before. The next day, we ended up going to – there's two things my son wanted to do that weren't Disney that he kind of pushed into our heads, and that was the Crayola experience and Legoland. And the next day we woke up and it was still 90 degrees. Like, the girls had a hard time being so little, even outside night. For that extended period of time because it got so hot that we said, okay, we can't bring them out the parks during the day.
Yeah.
So into the Crayola experience, fully air-conditioned. It is at the Florida Mall, which is random.
Is there anything still at the Florida Mall?
There's also M&M World. They have like some of these like...
Because that used to be the mall when we lived there. Like that was
then,
the...
Yeah, then it kind of took a turn.
High-end mall.
Yeah, and it took a turn. Now it's still... I didn't really go into the mall, but I went into Crayola. And Crayola was... Just, I know you guys, look, if you're not a fan of going off property, I totally get it. You don't have a car, such. But if you want a good time that's fully air-conditioned, that is a very good price and a very good deal, go to the Crayola experience at the Florida Mall. It took us about 4 hours to do everything.
Wow.
And we missed probably two things. It was, I mean, there's probably 10, 12 different things you can do, whether that's a show that looks like a crayon factory. They show you, they make
crayons. Is there admission or is it just like...
Yeah, there's admission. It's I'll have to look up pricing. It's in the $30 range, $36, something like that. I end up upgrading to an annual pass because it's only $10 more to upgrade to the annual pass. And after we did it, I said, I'm coming back here all the time with my son. I think it'd be great if you're probably under six, under seven. After that, maybe not. I saw some older kid groups that were having fun, but I'm talking older, like teen groups that were more like, let's have a party in this place.
Is it mostly like activity based?
Yeah. So it's... there's one show, and that's a live person is there pretty much showing you. They have the stuff to make crayons, like how they do it in the factory. So they make crayons, the kids get a crayon at the end. That was great. Loved that. My son loved it. I actually really loved that. Then there's other bases, like put yourself in a crayon page or in a coloring book page, and then the coloring book page comes out. There's you take a picture. Then there's a thing where you draw on computers that shows up in a giant screen. Virtual crayons. Then there's you get two coins when you buy your admission. The two coins can be redeemed at a couple different places. You can obviously buy more coins, but the two coins were for one is you get to wrap your own crayon, create your own crayon. So you name it, you put a little logo, you have it done, and then you take it to a little machine and you get to roll it on the crayon. It's actually pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So we made one for each of our kids. And my son, that was like historic. He loved that. That was incredible.
I've got my own crayon.
Yeah. Riker Rocket Red, I think. And he loved it.
Did he come up with the alliteration or was that you?
I think he actually wanted to call it Rocket Rocket, but I called it Riker Rocket.
Rocket Rocket Red is, it's double rocket. It's kind of like,
you know, Mr. Rogers, named a crayon color. I have to look at what it is, but it's like a periwinkle, like some sort of blue.
Nice.
You know what the number one question I always get from families and friends going down to Orlando is, what do you do if it rains? So I think Crayola experience sounds like
it'd
be an excellent thing to do if you have young kids and it's raining and you need something to do for the day.
Yeah, it was spring break. It was almost dead for the first half we were there. It got a little busier towards the end. Huge playgrounds that my son didn't really play on. A light bright the size of this room. It was awesome.
That sounds fantastic.
One of the cool things they have is beyond the crayons, they also have, you can get, what's like the clay, what do they call that?
Play-Doh?
No, it's Crayola branded version of Play-Doh.
Molded clay.
It's something like magic something.
Crayola clay.
It's a clay station. Then there's a station.
A clay station.
Clay station.
By a pony. A pony clay station.
And then there's areas where you can do, where you can melt a crayon, do spin art with it. Melt a crayon.
Oh, that's cool.
Do, they, like my son made a seahorse out of melted crayon. A place where you can paint with melted crayon wax. A virtual rainbow rain room.
So it's a $30 preschool.
Yeah, kind of. Like there's a rainbow really rain cool. room, which is you go under this rainbow rain. It's on a screen, and you can kind of play with it. It's like you see yourself on a screen. And it's interactive. It's fun. Draw your own dress or clothes, and they do a fashion thing where your character, and you can actually put on the clothes you drew, or you create a car. And it shows a lot of stuff. Like, I won't go into everything. I will say that it was great. I loved it. And I will, like I said, I upgraded to annual passes, and it was well worth the price of admission, and great way to spend 3 or 4 hours at least doing all the little things and have a lot of fun if you have kind of preschool to early elementary school kids.
Do you do anything else that you've never done before while you're down there?
I did 3 things. I did Legoland. I did all the new Star Wars stuff at Hollywood Studios, and I did a different character dining. At Hollywood Studios, my son and I went out late, and we said, we're going to go and just do the Star Wars stuff. Can we get through all the Star Wars stuff? We went in at like 6:30. 7 o'clock, and we knew we had about 3 hours. 9:30 was when the fireworks were.
Do you have any fast passes or anything?
We had fast passes for Star Tours, which I didn't know if my son could ride because he was just, I mean, if he's wearing shoes, he was just at 40 inches. So I was nervous the whole time. We walked in. Great. The park is looking beautiful. All the stages were down, which I don't think is going to last very long until they're rebuilding it for the Star Wars stuff. So you could see the Chinese theater perfectly. The weather was great. And the first thing we did was walk over to Launch Bay and get in line for the Launch Bay film. And it was probably, we were the next show, so there was no wait, maybe 10 minute wait. We waited there. As we waited there, the First Order stormtroopers came out and blew everyone's mind. They talk, and they were incredible. My son just fell in love with it. I would encourage anyone who is a Star Wars fan that's a kid, probably of any age, do a Star Wars night, especially with the new stuff happening, because we just had an absolute blast doing it.
And it filled your whole night. Like, it
yeah,
was
we did.
To do.
We did like 4 or 5 hours of it. We're probably 4 hours of it. So we did from, like, it's about 6 to 9:30 were fireworks, and we did that. And the video, I think the first film you watch, the Launch Bay film, is it's beautiful. I may have cried a little in it. And Will shaking his head.
I cry so much for a grown man over Star Wars.
Well, there's a whole part in it about how, and it shows kind of kids. It's like how this is the point where people can pass it out to their kids, and had interviews all the new directors. And I just loved it. I thought it was a terrific piece, and that leads you into Launch Bay. And unlike Terry said, I didn't feel like I was in the animation building at all. Like, I could not place where I was. Until I'd like sit down and think about where I was.
That's because you have terrible sense of direction.
Well, I think it's because you get disoriented the way you walk in now. So, you know, it just felt differently, and I didn't see it the same way.
We walked through
the store
and backwards.
Yeah, I think that would be different. See, me going through the movie side, I didn't know where I was because I never really watched the movie very much, even with the animation thing.
So now I've got to go back and see the movie because we skipped the movie.
Movie's great. And then we walked into there. Chewie and Kylo Ren were both there, but the lines were too long. We're like, we're going to come back later. They were like an hour plus for both of them.
In the evening?
Yeah, Chewie was an hour, and Kylo Ren was 40. And I said, yeah, we're not going to do this, buddy. We'll come back later. And I kind of talked to a cast member. I said, when's a good time to come? Because he can't sit here 45 minutes. And they said, come close to 9, because that's when people are going to start getting out for fireworks. So we said, okay, we're going to do that. We walked around Launch Bay for a little bit, played with the Infinity stuff. He loved the Infinity things. Lived all the stuff. We went to the store for a little bit, and we bought a lightsaber. Bought like their version of like the $20 lightsaber, which was awesome. I loved it. And when we walked out, the stormtroopers were there. The stormtroopers decided to only interact with my son and turned away a bunch of people, which was so bizarre. And like, people were like, "It's my birthday!" And they're like, "We don't care." They like a cast member came and got Riker and like
old Jedi mind trick from Riker,
because we followed them for a little while, and I think the cast member kind of saw that we were with them, so she was like, "No, they want to get their picture." So she like almost picked up Riker and said, here, like, put him in the middle, grabbed his lightsaber for him and put him in like a pose. It was awesome. The stormtroopers were great.
I saw that picture.
Yeah.
And the look on Riker's face is, I've never seen bliss.
Oh yeah.
Like the look on his face. He's so proud to be holding a lightsaber
like battle mode. Yeah.
In between two stormtroopers, as if he's like their Dark Lord, like he's commanding them. Like, he is so proud. you know, I'm not a big like character guy and all that stuff, but just the look on his face, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it. Yeah. And this First Order stormtroopers look awesome. I think that's because also we haven't seen them. So it's not like the First Order or the 501st guys you kind of see in every city, like, oh, look, another stormtrooper. But to see the movie accurate,
it's freaking real.
Yeah. To see the new ones that are like, I've never seen in person was unbelievable. And they talk to each other. It was great. Went from there to Star Tours. And I was fully convinced they weren't going to let him on Star Tours. But I did the dad, like, suave move. I was like, I'm going to go here. I'm going to just dig in our magic bands. We had our cards, our fast passes, and just try to walk by. As we're doing that, like, hey, we need to check your height, buddy. And they loved him because he had a Star Wars gear on. And he was so excited. He saw the AT-AT, freaked out. And it is AT-AT. I don't care what you people say. And I have my definitive reason of why.
Because you don't say atst.
Right. You know, A-T-S-T. Sorry that no one says atst. The next thing, they measured him, and they were like, okay, fine. So I was like, great. So he freaked out. We walked in. I've never seen him more excited than to see, you know, real C-3PO and R2-D2. And he has a star speeder. I don't think he ever realized what it was from.
Yeah.
So he's like, I have that. There it is. And like, we're going to get, yeah. And all the droids that talked to him and did all the baggage stuff. He just loved it. And we finally got up to the gates. They were going to check his height again. And I was like, oh, no. So they checked his height again. I was kind of like, well, the person down front said it was fine. And they checked it, and they kind of, I think he was probably, it's 40 inches. I think he's like 39.75. Like, he's like a quarter of an inch, probably too short without shoes. So they kind of said, okay, fine, go, go, go.
But you're wearing shoes.
Yeah, exactly. But he was wearing shoes. They didn't make him take his shoes off. We got in line. We didn't get to see much of the pre-show because it was, they needed two people. It was like, we need to fill it up. Come on. And we got on the ride, and I kind of explained, buddy, this isn't real. You know what you're going to see. And he had to wear 3D glasses. I was like, just hold on to my arm. So I buckled him in, which felt super loose, you know, to buckle in a 3.5-year-old or in a Star Tour ship.
I mean, it feels loose on us, but we don't like think about it.
Yeah, like your body fills up most of the seat. like his body didn't fill up like a quarter of the seat. So I was like, hold him onto my arm. And he just had a ball. He loved it. I mean,
the pictures that you sent of him sitting in the seat about to take off. Yeah. Was literally like he thought he was going.
Oh, he asked after, was it like, would we really go to Lightspeed? I went to Lightspeed. He loves Lightspeed. He always talks about Lightspeed. When it went to Lightspeed, it was like pure bliss. It was unreal to see his reaction. And then when we go to Jakku, and he's seen The Force Awakens, we go to Jakku. He's like, we're at Jakku. We're like, yeah, we're at Jakku. And then when the Falcon swung in, he had a fit. The main thing he talks about, though, is that as we had the Darth Vader intro, where Darth Vader like takes a hold of your ship with the Force, he just thought that was unbelievable. So we leave that. I kind of confirm he's not damaged for the rest of his life due to me scarring him for putting him on Star Tours at 3.5. He wasn't. He loved it. Went to that store. We did build a droid, which I'd never done. Really fun. He built a droid. I built one too, which really he built too. And we took him home. He named it Toot Toot. And Toot Toot is our little astromech droid. It's a red and black kind of R2-D2. And we had fun. I mean, that was just, it was unreal. It was awesome. The next thing we did, which I don't know, did you do any of the movies when you were there?
We went to the
The Path of the Jedi.
What's the one that's in Sounds Dangerous?
Path of the Jedi, yeah. Yeah. In that Path of the Jedi movie, which I wasn't sure if he was going to be interested in, I was like, you want to go see another movie? And he's like, yeah, Star Wars, we're going in. we walked in and Path of the Jedi was on, and that is essentially the story of Luke Skywalker.
I thought it was really cool.
Anakin loved it. If you've seen the movie, it kind of helps if you've never seen the movies or need a refresher. It's like, here's what you've missed. And then even kind of teases Rey, teases a little Rogue One. Really good. So after that, we walked over back into Launch Bay.
I talked to your son on the phone from time to time.
Uh-huh.
Not to sound weird. Normally, you're the one calling. But
he asked him to call you.
Yeah, he mentioned something. And I don't know if it was on this night or if it was at a different time. But he told me he gave a paperclip to a Jawa.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me?
All right, so we went back in Launch Bay, and the lines had shortened for Chewie and for Kylo Ren, but I'll get to that in a second. On the way out of Launch Bay, there's like a cantina area, which they played the music. He was dancing, playing music, where he posed with some blue milk. And around the corner comes a Jawa, and he freaks out in a negative way. First, and it frightened him.
They're kind of scary little guys.
Yeah, and they're about his height, so I think there was a little bit like, whoa, like it took him out. And then when I said, buddy, you can go talk to him, he's fine. And then he went and talked to him for a second. And I remember someone telling me you could trade with the Jawa. So I was looking out, like, in my pockets what I had. I had, like, a receipt. So I handed him a receipt. So I go, right, just kind of give him this receipt. And he took it, and the Jawa took it out of his hands, kind of wrinkled it up, and handed it back. And I'm like, okay, they probably somehow have some rule, like, has credit card information, don't take it, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, figure out something else. So I, like, found on my rental car key there was a paperclip. So I
was about to ask, where did you get a paperclip?
Yeah, it was on my rental car keys. So I took out the paperclip. I said, go ask him to trade. And he walked up, and he was so excited. He goes, I want to trade for this. And the Jawa got on his knees, because he's probably, I don't know, 4 feet tall. Got on his knees, like, kind of has sort of like a fanny pack, opened it up, and was kind of shuffled around for a while, and handed him two old crinkled up photo pass cards, and they traded the photo pass card. I guess it's whatever they get that day is what they actually trade. So
it's not like pin trading where you're getting something cool. No. You're getting terrible things. You're getting
like, but Rekka loved it. He's like, he's carrying them around all the time. Look,
so now you probably have some family's old photo
pass. No, I looked and they're deactivated. So I assume maybe those are like, they have them just in case, because I tried to scan them on my, maybe because someone else did already, on my Magic experience. I'm like, I want to see what these are. To wrap it up, Kylo Ren, we did first. We waited in line about 10 minutes to meet Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is scary. And I mean, he's scary. My son first hated it and then turned himself. He said, like, I can't wait to see Kylo Ren. He's a big dark side guy. And when Kylo Ren started speaking, I think it totally took him off guard. I didn't realize Kylo Ren spoke.
Yeah, because most of the characters don't speak.
And Kylo Ren
except for Mickey with his
talking Mickey, animatronic mouth. And he's sweet and nice. This is a villain who, you know, kills one of our most beloved heroes. And I...
did you cry during that scene too, Logan?
I did. Of course. No, I actually can't even talk about it. I'll be honest, like it. I didn't cry. I can't go there. I wish I was joking, but I'm not. So we met Kylo Ren, and I think the actor portraying him realized my son was kind of freaked out, so he quit talking. And the only time he spoke, like Riker, kind of, I was wearing my Matt radar detector, or radar repairman, whatever it is from SNL. I was wearing a shirt that had him on it, so the people that were there loved it. Like all of the cast members thought it was hilarious. And Kylo Ren was giving me dirty looks. So I held Riker. We took the picture. And at the end, Riker goes, I use the force on you. And Kylo Ren just turned around and went, no. And it was like, oh, God. So we left. As we left, Riker goes, which he never really does before, goes, was that really Kylo Ren or was that a man in a suit? I said, what do you want it to be? He goes, a man in a suit. I was like, it was a man in a suit. I said, it was just pretend. And then we went and met Chewbacca, exact opposite. So the way they have the characters set up now is they're behind doors, so you can't see them at all, which is pretty interesting. I didn't know that. So they have their own little station, so they're not just sitting there taking photos like Mickey was or any of the characters, Wreck-It Ralph. You can't see the characters without waiting in line. So we go in, kind of like the Mickey, the talking Mickey. So we go into our little, we're the first people in our batch to go meet Chewbacca. We walk up, Chewie is turned around, messing with the computer that's in front of him, like working, like tinkering on something.
Like you're happening upon him.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then he's like, raw, raw, kind of turns around, and then there's Riker ran up and hugged him. And gave him, you know, like this hugs like him being buried in Chewbacca. It's hilarious. He loved Chewie. He held onto his leg. Great. I said, that's just great. I mean, I'd say the costume is fine. Like, it's not the best looking like Chewbacca. His face is a little odd. The actual fur is great. His face is a little weird. And the guy did a couple growls for him, just a little like, which was fine. And Riker loved that. I thought it was great. After that, we left. And a quick side note, if you have little preschoolers, just a little tip. The areas where Doc McStuffins and Jake and Mickey Mouse are the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or Sophia meet and greet over there at nighttime is just open and they let kids, you can go play on it. So Riker had a blast. It's kind of when I realized he was still a preschooler and still like a little kid. He wasn't just this big Star Wars guy. Like he wanted to play at Doc McStuffins' house. So there's all, we probably sat 15 minutes of him playing at Doc McStuffins' house, playing on Sophia's castle, playing with the Mouse Cadoer for Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. That's just an interesting thing. So when the Disney Junior stuff is over for the day, they do open that up and just let you go play on it. So
yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. It's just a little tip for people, preschool age kids. They're out at night. It was a great little break from Star Wars for him. After that, we went and we waited for the fireworks, which I had never seen this version of the fireworks before. I thought they were great. I loved them. I can't wait to see what they have coming up because now there's new fireworks, new show, and the new stage show starting next week.
How does he like the fireworks?
He loved it. He thought it was great. And the Imperial March he liked the most in that. He likes fireworks. Overall, we had to actually kind of start heading out towards the end of the finale because it gets absurd on Hollywood Boulevard leading towards the theater. Like it was packed.
What day of the week was this?
Oh, this was a Thursday or Friday, something like that. Okay. No, it's probably a Sunday. I think this was a Sunday.
Okay, so it was a weekend day.
It was a weekend and it was
spring break.
Yeah. But it really wasn't that bad. Lines weren't that bad. Even I waited for Star Tours, like 25 minutes. So that was our Star Wars night. I know that was long and winded, but I would encourage everyone who has a kid that likes Star Wars, you could do a whole night of just Star Wars now, and it is well worth your time and price admission. I was totally turned around by the whole, you know, should you go to studios, should you not go to studios? If you're a Star Wars fan like I am and like my son is, without a doubt, probably the best night we had on the trip was doing all the Star Wars stuff at Hollywood Studios. So we went to Legoland. I'll talk about that another day. Good if you have small kids. I went to Disney Springs for the first time since the revamp of Springs. Really loved it. Thought it was beautiful. Valet parking, huge plus. Valet parking now at Disney Springs. Expensive, like $20, but it was well worth it with the kids. It was great. I don't have anything negative to say about it. The new stuff looks beautiful.
Did you eat anywhere new?
I ate at Raglan Road, which I actually had not eaten at in years and years and years.
Oh, did you go on St. Patty's?
It was St. Patty's week. It was like the day before, 2 days before. So they still had some stuff out. And it was great. My meal was excellent. It was pretty dead.
What'd you eat?
I had, it was called like, I'll look, I had a funny name, like Three Eyes and something. It was like an egg and ham and Gruyere kind of thing. It was very good. And walked past all the new stuff, popped my head into Jack Lindsay's, watched some of the boats, the car boats kind of go out and watch them launch. Again, it was a super hot day in the 90s, so we didn't get to stay around that long. And the only other thing I did new was we did, I had not done character dining ever at Ohana for breakfast, and I loved that.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I'm a Chef Mickey's guy. We usually do Chef Mickey's because you get to see all the, you know, the Fab Five. But with this,
The Beatles? With George Martin?
No, it's Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Pluto, Goofy.
I know.
But this was Mickey and Pluto and Stitch and Lilo. And we usually say Lilo and Stitch, but I, for some reason, put Stitch over Lilo.
Riker says Stitch first, and then you say, and who else was there? Lilo. He says, Lilo!
Yeah.
That's why you say it that way.
And though the characters aren't as great, because you don't get, you know, Minnie and you don't get Goofy or Donald, but the actual experience of food was really good. You know, eggs, bacon, sausage, Mickey waffles, but it's all brought to you. It's not a buffet, which was excellent.
Especially with kids, that's convenient.
So they brought the big, they bring them in big kind of skillets full of the stuff. It's all you can eat still, but they bring it to you.
Cool.
The characters were great. They did photo pass pictures with Stitch, which was interesting. It wasn't just...
like when you came in, did they do
a
picture?
Or just they came to your table. And I really enjoyed that. I'll be booking that again. My son just started to kind of watch Stitch, just started cares, but because it was so convenient and so easy, I could see the appeal over a Chef Mickey's. And fun fact, you do have to have reservations if you have two twin girls. You have to have them in your reservations if they're 4 months old because they want the space, but they do not charge you.
Okay. One other question. Yeah. Final question. We talked about it on the show. Did you go to Flower and Garden at all?
I did not. I did not make it to Epcot or Animal Kingdom.
We knew you weren't going to Animal Kingdom because you telegraphed that.
Yeah. I really wanted to make it to Epcot, and I hopefully will go to Fire Garden before it's over because I'm going to go back in a few weeks without everyone.
Sure, it was just hard with.
It was really hard in the heat, and it turned into a mess when it came to trying to get everyone out. Plus, Legoland, like I said, it's something he really wanted to do, and I didn't want to deprive him of that. There's one great attraction at Legoland. If I could just diverge for a second,
yeah, go for
it's
it.
They just did a Legoland 4D, the Lego Movie experience.
So you can like taste and smell the Legos.
It's really just there's some wind and some lights and that's about it. I think there's bubbles maybe. I don't remember exactly. But
watch the whole movie?
No, it's they made a movie for it. So it's like a follow-up to the Lego Movie, which I already love. And the Lego Movie 4D experience is them going to Brick World, which is the next door neighbor bad cousin of Legoland. It is unbelievably funny. It is pretty much them ripping on Disney for like 20 minutes, but there's like magic band jokes and there's Pirates of the Caribbean jokes. They're pretty much just acknowledging
magic
almost,
bands are not a laughing matter.
The whole thing is pretty much the magic bands are like mind control devices. And, you know, President Business, or this one, it's Risky Business, his cousin. It's great. I don't want to ruin it any more than that. Legoland, I'll cover that another show. But that was one thing that was really fun. But we didn't go to Epcot, didn't go to Animal Kingdom, though I really wanted to. Made it to a couple resorts and a couple parks.
Cool.
Speaking of Animal Kingdom and Epcot, we do have something we want to share with you guys, which is the Adult Whip, which is something we... don't do that, man. That's not that kind of whip.
Oh.
That's almost worse. The Adult Whip is something we kind of coined, which is the current... I don't know what they officially call it now, because everyone on my internet now calls it the Adult Whip.
It's a Dole Whip with rum. Some adult beverage added.
And you can get it right now at Flower and Garden. You can also get it permanently at Animal Kingdom. We made a joke. There should be a shirt. We're making an Adult Web shirt. Well, folks, the Adult Web shirt is available now on our website, and it's very like Tommy Bahama-ish. It's very Will-ish shirt.
Yeah, you know, little Jimmy Buffett-esque.
Sell it for us, Will. Come on.
What are those? What are those shirts that have like the parrots on them? Macaws. You seen those?
Guy Harvey?
No. Guy Harvey's the fish. There's like these macaws in there.
Okay, it's tropical. We'll say it's a vintage.
Get them in Panama City.
It's a vintage tropical design.
It's a classy shirt for a fancy man.
Actually, look, I think a couple of my friends who have already bought them on the link told me like I would wear this and no one's gonna even like.
Classy shirt for a fancy man is not what it is.
It's the opposite of that.
It's a casual shirt for a casual man.
Yes, yeah, it's vacation wear.
Yeah, vacation dad special.
But it has a cup full of Dole Whip with some rum in it. It has a bottle of rum, a pineapple.
WDW Today rum.
Little thing. And it says the world famous Adult Whip. It's available on our website at WDWtoday.com. Or just go directly. Do not Google. Go directly to AdultWhip.com.
You bought the domain.
Yeah. And it'll take you straight to the Adult Whip merchandise section. Shirts, I believe men's shirts. I think women's shirts possibly up there by the time they hear this.
If you don't know this already, Logan has a strange obsession with purchasing domains.
Got a lot of domains, Larry.
So you could go to, say, AdultWhip.com, or you could go to LynnPowers.com, and all of a sudden end up on one of our domains.
Yeah, one of our websites. But yeah. The Adult Whip shirt's available now. I'm not sure how long we're going to offer it. Maybe a couple weeks, maybe till the end of Flower and Garden. We'll see. It's up to you guys. If it sells well, you never know. But we do have it available right now on our website. You can probably get it if you order. I think we'll get it in the next 7 to 10 days. So adultwhip.com or wdwtoday.com, and you'll see it probably in our latest post, a big link for it. So you can find it there. And I hope you all do. And make sure if you do buy it, share screenshots, let us know, and hashtag AdultWhip for that.
We're looking at you, Drunk at Disney.
That's right. I already leaked it to him. He's excited. And I already leaked it to a few people, and I hope you guys like it. Well, that'll do it for this segment, I think, of my trip report. I'm sorry I talked 90% of that with the cold, but you guys feel okay about it?
I feel like, yeah.
Dancing?
We're going to dump you in the next segment for Lynn Powers. So.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so I'm going bye-bye.
Yep.
I'll catch you guys up at the very end of the show. So coming up next, your favorite segment of mine. I'll listen to questions with Lynn. All right, we had to stop right now for just a minute to tell you about our sponsor this week. And it was our last week and the week before that. We really want you guys to know about this. It's a listener who contacted us and wanted to promote his virtual run coming up for a charity called Do Away with SMA, DAWS. And SMA is spinal muscular atrophy. Google it, learn about it, go to their website and find out about SMA.
The number one genetic killer for children under 2.
Yeah, so when he kind of pitched this to us, it was something we felt we had to kind of join with him on. That was Mitch who reached out to us and said, you know, I really would love to partner with WDW Today on this virtual run, which we talked a lot of Star Wars, and it's a Star Wars themed run. It's a fourth Awakens on May the 4th, and it's going to be happening. You can do it anytime. I think in that week of May, you'll get a BB-8 style medal. You'll get a bib. It'll very much like you ran this race with everybody and had a blast, and they want you to share about it and talk about it. That website you can find right on our website, wdwtoday.com. You see in the right-hand corner, it has a Do Away with SMA. You also see it in the post.
And then you can register with a special code WDWtoday and let them know that you heard about it here on our podcast.
And that gets you 10% off your registration fee.
Yeah, 10% off, and you put some money to a great cause, and a great cause that is really supported by the listeners here at WDW Today and was created by a listener. So reach out to them, support them. Now back to the show.
It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn.
So Lindy Conrad has a DVC question for us, and she's wondering if booking club level at the Animal Kingdom is difficult at the 11-month mark. Also, is it worth the extra points?
I don't think it's that difficult if you do it right at the 11-month mark, and I really like club level at Animal Kingdom. I think the food... there's excellence. You're going to get a sample of what's at Boma, maybe a little bit from what's at Chico. And I think the service is excellent there. especially at the in the concierge. I think it's fantastic. I like the Polynesian the best. Animal Kingdom is my number two.
Well, we're going to disagree because
really?
Yes, because I just stayed there recently on one of our most recent trips. Now, I don't understand concierge at a Disney resort because it's for one thing, at the Animal Kingdom specifically, none of the rooms actually look onto the Savannah, for one thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so like...
Yeah, in Jumbo, yeah,
yeah,
right.
Because they're only in Jumbo. There's only, I think... It's only the rooms that are literally above the lobby on the top floor are DVC rooms, is what I was told. Like, there's like 10 or 13 of them or something like that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, if it's sort of like your experience with the bungalows, though. If you're staying there and you are hanging out there and you're going to be there for all of the like the tea time that they have and all of the snacks, you know, I mean, we were there and we went to breakfast and it was like, okay, so... You know, we paid almost twice as many points to have a Holiday Inn Continental breakfast available to us, you know, and I don't know. Maybe it was, I think what really soured us was the fact that there were no views. And so if you are okay with that and are willing to pay all the extra points, but I think at Animal Kingdom, really what makes Animal Kingdom Lodge awesome is, you know, waking up and having a giraffe outside your window. And so I think for the extra points, you should get a view.
So Terry, which, resort would you suggest for the extra points?
That's the only place that you can do concierge with DVC
okay.
points.
Gotcha.
So
I'm not a DVC person, so that showed my ignorance there.
Yeah, and so no, I don't think, and we've talked about it on the show before. I don't know that, you know, I've never done concierge on the cruise ship, but I know both you and Logan have, and the experience on the cruise ship in concierge, we've had friends in there, and we've snuck in with them, and like that experience is like level 500. You know, versus it just, I mean, the perks that you get other than maybe taste testing some food from GECO. I mean, did I miss something, Lynn? Is there something that they're offering that I now we booked at last minute, so we didn't get any like the pre make your help you with your planning stuff that they normally do. Is there something that I'm missing?
Yeah. No, most of that stuff is fairly straightforward. They can get you a reservation. Maybe they can get you a reservation that's harder to get. I do think that there are certain restaurants like Cinderella's Royal Table where a handful of tables are reserved for last minute concierge, and they can help with that. But yeah, you know, the big thing for me with any concierge, especially when Hannah was younger, was the ability to let her run down to the concierge, grab some cookies and a drink, and then come back to the room by herself. You know, so when she was like, you know, 13, 14 years old, she could do that. And I think that was, you know, she loved that. That was a big treat. She liked going there. You know, in the mornings and then in the afternoons and the evenings and stuff like that. It's, you know, from an economic perspective, it's never going to make sense. You're not going to earn back the dollars in food, in breakfast or lunch or dinner, but it's the idea that it's the convenience, really.
All right. Next question comes from Sunny from Texas. What are crowd levels like the week before Christmas? Planning a trip the week of the 18th and want to know how to plan.
Now, it always depends on kind of how the holiday breaks down. But, you know, I'm guessing, I'm not looking at Touring Plans numbers, although I'm sure you are. We've been there, and I think right up until like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, it's very tolerable. I mean, we've checked out on Christmas Eve before, and, you know, never. It's really most of the people kind of come in about the 23rd or 24th, and that's where people kind of. I would say if you're planning a trip around Christmas and you're going to be there a week and you're leaving towards the around Christmas, I would be to say plan most of your big experiences on the beginning of that trip. Plan to, you know, go ride all of the big e-ticket attractions, do your big dining reservations, try to get Ohana. You know, you're going to probably want to book as far in advance as you possibly can because that is a busy season. And then plan on doing some things that you normally wouldn't do on the back end of your trip. So what did you find in your research there, Lynn?
So I can't believe I'm saying this, but here's where the Disney ticket price increase is helpful. I actually feel dirty saying that. You'll excuse me when I go shower.
You have to wash your hands after this.
You're going to have to go back to that bungalow and use every shower in that bungalow.
Every shower I get. So the December 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st are considered regular season. This year. So those days should be average or, you know, maybe slightly higher, for Sunny. Things start to get into peak season the 22nd on. So that's actually a fairly decent approximation of the crowd levels. We have the same thing. So we have, you know, crowd levels 7s and 8s-ish beforehand, and then 9s and 10s, you know, during peak season. So
great.
The end of the week is going to get busy. This year Christmas is on a Sunday, so you've got the entire week before. If people are planning, have planned their 2016 vacation correctly, they've taken the last 2 weeks of the year off. If not, that last week, so Christmas on a Sunday, the week of the 26th on will be crazy.
Very good, Terry. Next question.
Brandon Dozier asks, how do you convince your wife that midday breaks are a good idea? You know, WDW Today, the trusted place for marriage advice.
Yeah. Marriage counseling on vacation.
That's what we should open on Main Street, marriage counseling.
Is that what you want your window on Main Street to be, Lynn?
Marriage saying this is a divorced man. No, probably not.
She wants to go from open to close, and I love this idea, but we are going to be there 8 days from October 1st through the 8th. And Brandon, before I continue this question, I would suggest you come in the 30th because you don't want to miss DLPFest.com. With a 9-year-old and a 9-year-old girl and a 12-year-old son and my mom, I think we might need an hour or two break. I think she will come around about 4. She will come around about day four. Yeah, I hope.
I think she will come around about 2 p.m. on day 1.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to do any convincing here, Brendan. She will discover this little fact on her own on day 1, especially after 8 days. You know, I was there for 2 days, and granted, the first 2 days I was there last week. I was doing Magic Kingdom touring plan testing both days, and by the end of the second day, everything hurt to the point where on the third day I needed to take a break. I think your wife will discover this, but you know, we say this in the book. We say that it's impossible to tour for 4 straight days or 5 straight days or whatever. There's no way you're going to go 8 days. I would suggest reading select parts of the book to your wife, or, you know, let her listen to this. I really think you should take an afternoon break every day. The kids are old enough that they probably won't want to take one. Everyone will be better off if you do. And even if you don't think you need the rest, here's the practical part of it. You know, October is still relatively warm in Walt Disney World. It'll get you out of the heat of the day. But if you leave like around noon or 1 o'clock and you come back around 5, you will avoid the largest crowds of the day. So not only do you get to nap when everything is the most crowded, but when you get back, those people who were in the parks will be leaving. So you'll find shorter lines. Not only is it good for you physically, it's strategically the right thing to do. And I can't think of any other reason other than that to do it. I mean, those are two great reasons.
Now, Brandon, I don't know what kind of man you are, but if you really want to go all in on this theory, I suggest if you want to make sure that your last 7 days of your vacation are going to be nap insured, I would suggest day one, you make sure that you guys get there for rope drop at whatever park is magic hours, because I'm going to assume you're staying on property for that long. So I'd say, you know, maybe have like a 5 a.m. wake up call from Mickey, and, you know, maybe have some like music, go gung ho with the family, wake your kids up fully showered, mouse ears on, ready to go, and be gung ho dad, you know, like, you know, maybe have your black socks up to your knees, be ready to go there, be floored,
take photos.
Yeah. Take photos of everything and have every minute of the day planned out. And then, you know, make sure you catch extra magic hours somewhere at night, come back at about 2 a.m. I'm just wanting Brandon to get what he wants. And so if he's willing to go all in with me here, I can ensure that he will get his breaks. And heck, with this plan,
dude, you're going to have blood on your hands. His brain's going to get killed.
And here's the deal for Brandon. If not, Brandon may get some free time on his own this trip. And so,
yeah, Brandon may be relegated to his own hotel room, which he gets all the break time he needs.
No, Brandon was saying that his wife wants to do open to close every day, so I just give her what she wants.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that I kind of side with Lynn. You're not really gonna have to, especially if you've got your wife and two children, and it's his mom, so not, it would have been maybe a different thing if it was a mother-in-law, but I have a feeling that quickly people are going to say, okay, let's go back and take a rest, maybe go get some food, something like that. I would also say, I don't know how they're planning their vacation, but another way to look at it too is if you've got park hoppers, you could go in, get some stuff done at Magic Kingdom, and then afternoon, you know, they're going in October, that's Food and Wine. You could go take your break, then go hit up Epcot, hit up Food and Wine for some snacks and beverages, and Epcot's open till I think 10 during Food and Wine, isn't it? Yeah. So,
Will Kingdom be open late with Rivers of Light and the Nighttime Safari by then?
Yeah. So really, the day is longer, which mm-hmm. makes it a lot easier to do the break instead of like I've only got, you know, what, the eight or nine hours of potential part time. I gotta get it as quick in and get in, get out, do as much as I can. I think that everyone's going to be a lot happier, and
there's no reason on an 8-day trip to go gung-ho. Now, if you're there for like 2 days, 3 days, it's a quick trip, and it's just maybe you and one of your kids. By all means, we've all done it before. Do it. But 8 days, unless you look at this like training for a marathon, if you could, I don't think anybody could do it. I'd almost challenge Brandon to say, Brandon, I don't think you can do it.
yeah, that's probably more likely the case. It's just not possible.
I mean, for something like that, I would go, you know, two days maximum touring, then I would take a day off. You know, you could do though too with you could alternate days. So you could do a, you know, go one day really hard, and then either at the studios or at the Animal Kingdom, you really don't need to be there at park open, especially if you get really good fast passes 60 days in advance. So you could do a Magic Kingdom or an Epcot day, then sleep in and arrive at the studios or the Animal Kingdom late. Then the next day go to, you know, Magic Kingdom or Epcot again. Then the next day go to the studios or Animal Kingdom, whichever one you missed. And when you're able to sleep in every other day, that also would help. But I would say, you know, tour for 2 days, then take a morning off, then tour for a day or so and take another morning off. You gotta have that time. Your body's not going to be able to do that for 8 straight days. There's no way.
Hey, I'm back. And that'll do it for today's episode of WDW Today.
What? Well, how about you just appeared out of nowhere after leaving us hanging with Len?
So that was it. I want to say special thanks to Off Kilter, the greatest band in podcasting. Check out them, offkilter.net, for all their details. They'll be out with us at the De Las Puertas Music, Magic, and Media Fest.
What's the best way to, you know, get a package to go down to the DLP Fest, Logan?
Funny you should ask. You should contact Off to Neverland Travel. They've already booked quite a few, and you want to be a part of this fun group. We're going to be doing stuff all weekend from Thursday to Sunday. But that big event that night, they have VIP passes for that Friday night event. And we got some more information coming about that, more announcements coming up in the next few weeks. So make sure to keep listening. De Las Puertas, WDW Today Weekend. And I think that will do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Len Testa.
See you on the next show.